of them knew exactly what to do, and they were able to interpret the sound of the trumpet. So it was used for direction under the Old Testament. Under the New Covenant, it is the voice of God as it comes in prophecy, by the Word and by the Spirit. And the reason why I'm giving this short admonition before I proceed to the ministry of the Word is because I perceive strongly in my spirit that the Lord is emphasizing on something that I will title, if you would love to give a title to it, the ministry of the ox in prayer. Now, I will begin my reading from Psalm 144. Please just follow through with me. Psalms 144. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. I'm just flipping my Bible very quickly. All right. Again, I like to give a title to it. I said the ministry of the ox. And it's in reference to the place of prayer. And we will see the importance of what that ministry or its symbolism in scripture. So Psalm 144, verse 14. Wherever we are, we can read, you know. But it's verse 14 says, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in, one, nor going out, two, and that there be no complaining on the streets. That word complaining means bitter crying, that there be no lamenting and no wailing on the street. But the resultant effect of a strong ox, or an ox that has the ability to labor, as it is written here, is that there be no breaking in, nor going out or complaining on our streets, as I will just shortly describe. What does an ox symbolize? Now, God likes to speak in allegories many times. When God refers to you as an eagle, it will behoove you to really go and check why he's calling you an eagle. Look at the attributes of an eagle. What does an eagle do? It has sight. It goes above the storm. It can pick up a serpent. It's a bold animal. But in this sense, God is referring to us here as oxes. What marks out an ox? It is ability to labor and labor and labor and not get tired. And that was the symbolism here. Now, in the scriptures, we see that an ox many times represents the believers, both individually and corporately, laboring in prayers and also laboring in the word. But I'm hinging my point here in the place of prayer because the distinction or the sound of the trumpet is a call for us to pray corporately. And at the end of this short exhortation, thereafter we will take another couple of minutes to begin to take up some time of intercession. We will put on sackcloth. We will mourn and pray as the Holy Spirit grants us grace. I will read now verse 14 again. It says that our oxen may be strong. So oxen are strong animals. They can take a lot of burden. They can take a lot. They can carry a huge amount of burden and they don't get tired. They labor, they labor, they labor, they labor. And it's with reference to the place of prayer. Interestingly, I found out that oxes could labor and labor and labor. You know, they could carry a stead of horses and move through. And all they require is about 2-3 hours of sleep. I'm like, So now it is with reference here again to prayer. Just some little things I would like us to take down so that I will not just take off like a tornado. Who are oxen? Hallelujah. They are intercessors. And the ministry of intercession is very, very needful, especially in these last days. God needs men to pray. God needs men to partner with in the place of prayer. You see, I will say this over and over again. this jurisdiction has been given to men. Psalm 115 will say, the heavens is the Lord, and the heavens belong to the Lord. But the earth he has given to the sons of men. So in other words, if God wants to do something on the earth, he needs to participate with a man. That's why the scripture says, the Lord's Prayer, it says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Because prayer is earthly permission for heavenly intervention. God needs men to cry, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As much as heaven has a will, he wants to invade the earth. But he needs men to cry on the earth, thy will be done. That is the ministry of intercession.
Amen.
They are also, number two, burden bearers. Please just take note of that. The oxen are burden bearers. Oh God, they have strength. They have capacity to take the burden. Like Issachar, he said he became a servant unto tribute. He bent his back and took the burden on behalf of his brethren. One of the blessings in Genesis 49. The burden bearers. They take up brethren in the place of prayer. They take up intercession for the nations. They take up prayers all round. They are given to prayers.
Thank you, Jesus.
They are burden bearers. They can take burdens and not be tired. John Knox, a man who cried, said, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. I was reading an account where John Knox said that he will put a candle and light it and pray all the way until the candle goes down. What I'm trying to tell you here, brethren, is that for many of us, we've had this mindset that prayers is only when the spirit of prayer or you feel like praying or the Holy Ghost prompts you to pray that you should pray. But I've come to correct that mindset with the word of God. Prayer is something that we must be intentional about. You pray whether you feel like praying or not. You pray consistently. It must be intentional. Prayer is a lifestyle. Yes, it is true. In our hearts, we should commune with the Lord. But it's also an act. It is part of what the scriptures refers to in Titus as godly piety, consistency and devotion to God in the place of prayer. We will see shortly. I'm going to analyze some certain things and we will go straight into the place of prayer. They are burden bearers. God needs to give us grace to carry burden, my brethren. Burden for our brethren. Burden for nations. We need to go hours upon hours upon hours in the place of prayer. But Jesus, thank God, we will not Jesus use our strength because we have a helper. He says the Spirit itself helps our infirmity. He helps our weaknesses. The Lord is going to clothe Winnipeg House Fellowship, Toronto House Fellowship, and the church in Nigeria with the Spirit of prayer in the name of Amen. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They are burden bearers, brethren. We need people who can take burden, who will wake up at night and pray. David said, Remember Jesus. And all his self-denials. Remember David and all his affliction, how he swore to the God of Jacob, Psalm 132, that he will not give sleep unto his eyes. Prayer demands physical exertion. Prayer demands strength. The spirit of might will come upon us, my brethren, as it came upon Samson to pray. I was reading an account where he said Samson was so strong, the spirit of might and prayers came upon him. He was so strong that he could take up, carry two mountains with his physical hand and claw them together and it turns to dust. That's the spirit of prayer, the spirit of grace and supplication. And God has promised in Zechariah chapter 12 that in those days he will pour upon the house of David the spirit of grace and the spirit of supplication, and they will mourn and they will cry and they will put on sackcloth. And the priest will weep between the porch and between the altar. The Lord will grant us this grace in the name Amen. Of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is the second point. The third is that they are watchmen. They are watchmen. Please take note of that. They are watchmen. They watch. There is a direct relationship with the ministry of intercession and sight. Sight in the spirit. Now, if you read again that verse of scripture in Psalm 144, I want us to go back because that is our theme scripture, if I will put it that way. Verse 14 says, that our oxen may be strong to labor. Why? Because when they are laboring, this is a prayer. This is a prayer that they were praying in Psalm 144. It says that our daughters may be polished according to the similitude of the palace. And finally, you know, that our oxen may be strong to labor. Because when they are laboring, three things that the Lord, you know, uses or, you know, intends to use their ministry for. It says first, that there be no breaking in. See, brethren, the adversary, he has been crushed and destroyed. But God has granted us grace. He says we should take heed. The book of Nahum says that, you know, he that dasheth in pieces is come before thy face. And he says, fortify thyself and keep the munition. Now, there is a need, especially in the corporate assembly, for oxes to stand in the place of prayer. For oxen to labor in the place of prayer. The trumpet is sounding, especially now when catastrophic things are going on in the nations and man is confused. The whole medical sector are confused. The economy is going down. There is a crash completely. Man does not know what to do again. But it behooves us as brethren and as prayer people, intercessors, to stand in the place of prayer first for Jerusalem. First for Jerusalem, that there be no breaking in. First of all, no breaking in. I would like to define some certain ways how breaking in can come. The first, breaking in can come in by, just take note of this point, division in the body of Christ. Now, we must endeavor, especially now, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Our unity as brethren is our protection. It's a major secret in the realm of the Spirit. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to get to dwell together in unity. That's what the scripture says. I'm bringing you the word of the Lord because these are the things that the Lord instructed that we must not take for granted. It is a prophetic word coming through a ministration. Thirdly, breaking in, or a breaking in, can come by the spirit of unbelief, the spirit of lies and condemnation. I grouped all of them together. Also, another major way breaking in comes in is by weariness. The spirit of weariness and discouragement. When a people are not standing in the place of prayer, when the oxen are not strong enough to labor, then you see manifestations of the spirit of weariness, drowsiness, and tiredness in a congregation. Spiritual lethargy and laid backness.
The name of Jesus.
Then when there is a breaking in, we see manifestations of fear. When there is a breaking in, we see manifestations of the spirit of prayerlessness. Brother Eli spoke about watch dogs. They can talk and talk and talk, but when it's time to pray, you know, they begin to, you know, give excuses. You see, I'm talking to myself as well. The Lord needs to grant us grace. Cooperatively, we are looking to the Lord for help. That is why God has given us His Spirit. His Spirit is there to help us. His Spirit is there to assist us. His Spirit is there to engrace us. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 12 very quickly and see the instruction of God in Luke chapter 12 concerning taking heed in the place of prayer, especially in a corporate body. Luke chapter 12, I will read from verse 39. Hallelujah. Can Daniel Salau unmute and read that verse of scripture for me, please? Thank you. With your voice like thunder. Thank you. All right.
Luke chapter 12, verse 39. Yeah. Okay. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through.
And we say amen. Now, amen. It's important for us to keep the attitude of prayers. The oxen must make sure they are praying. The oxen must make sure there is no gray area. The oxen must pray. We must take it in the place of prayer. We see a problem here. It says that if the good man had known what hour the thief would have come in, he would have watched. So what happened here was that the good man was not watching. They were not taking responsibility in the place of prayer. You see, prayer is a sacrifice. Prayer is something that we must know. We must be intentional about it. I'm going to give just one principle that will help us as a corporate body to implement a more fireful prayer life. God has really helped us. God has really given us grace. But there is room for much, much, much more grace and capacity to increase in the place of prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 1, coming to my heart now, it says, he that entereth not by the door, the same is a thief and the same is a robber. And later on, it says in verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The ministry of the ox, especially in these times, relative to Zion, relative to Jerusalem, the church of the living God first, it is very important and imperative that they take responsibility. We need to take responsibility corporately in the place of prayer. We need to call more Zoom meetings if possible. Regiment ourselves to pray that there be no breaking in. That was the prayer that the psalmist prayed. Now, I would like to take a very short case study on how in the early church, as a result of their lack of prayerlessness, something happened. I spoke about breaking in can come by death, can come by division, can come by unbelief, weariness, fear, prayerlessness, when the oxen are not taking their place in the place of prayer. So the Lord needs to help us. Now, let us go to the book of Acts chapter 12. You see, this is one portion in the book of Acts that for so long I've studied this portion of scripture and looked at it over and over and over and over again. And we see a certain situation and a condition. We see a breaking in. Something went on. Something went wrong. And I want us to critically analyze this verse of scripture. In Acts chapter 12, the place where Herod took some was vexed to take the life of a brother in the church of God. Now, you see, prior to this scripture, the Holy Ghost had come on the disciples on the day of Pentecost, and it came with a strong anointing to pray. They maintained a constant life of prayer. We see many times how John and Peter went to the temple at the hour of prayer. So they maintained a constant prayer life. We see how they came together and in corporate prayer meetings, they called upon the name of the Lord. But it happened to be that in this portion of scripture, something happened. The church began to lay back. They began to, be lethargic. They began to rest, They were not taking responsibility as they ought to anymore. The oxen were not praying. The burden bearers were taking things for granted. And it cost a brother's life. Now, Acts chapter 12. It says, now about that time, please follow, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. This was a demonic provocation. The devil vexed, came upon Herod, and suddenly wanted to perform, like one of our brothers call it, a quick one. A very quick one. Now, in this portion of scripture, I'm very much reminded of what happened to David. The Bible says that Satan moved David to number Israel, in the book of Samuel. He was moved by the enemy. And then he began to disobey the commandment of God by numbering Israel. So suddenly, Satan was moved. He moved Herod. And immediately, we see verse 2. And the Bible says he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. I don't understand how this was brother James, a solid brother. I want us to think about it for a second. This brother was a very solid elder in the leadership in the early church. They knew brother James. I mean, he was part of the three people that went up in the transfiguration. So everybody knew brother James as this very wonderful brother with the spirit of wisdom strong upon him. They respected him in Jerusalem. Think for a moment. A solid brother of this caliber suddenly just dies. Why? How did that happen? How did brother James die? And I'm sure many people in the church, their faith began to shake. Many people in the church began to question many things. I'm sure they were quoting scriptures. Psalms 121, but Lord, your word said that he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. How did brother James die? What happened? I'm sure many of their faith were questioned and were shaken. But something happened. It was as a result of irresponsibility. Verse 3. And see Herod. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And he says, these were the days of unleavened bread. Now, brother Peter was a brother whose shadow was healing the sick. They knew brother Peter as a very powerful brother. Of course, he was the one that God used. He spoke on the day of Pentecost and thousands gave their life to Christ. He spoke at Beautiful Gate and 5,000 people gave their life to Christ. He was a brother that God's grace was dripping on. And I'm sure he was well respected. Of course, Peter, brother Peter, they knew him as part of the 12 apostles. But you see, Peter was taken. And they wanted to kill Peter even as they killed James. Suddenly it dawned on the church that, look, if James died this way, if we don't take responsibility, brother Peter will die also. If you think about it, that brother Peter, his shadow was healing the sick. Those things that they used to bind his hands, he would just shout, break in the name of Jesus, and he will come out of it. You know, I'm sure many people must have been thinking like that, but it dawned on them that, look, if James was killed in this manner, brother Peter too will also be killed in this manner. We need to take responsibility. Verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he actually took Peter immediately. He put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people, to ridicule him. Now, many people will be asking, Lord, where are you? What is happening? How can they bring brother Peter and just ridicule him like that? James was taken. James was killed. They would have taken Peter. And if the church did not do something that we will see shortly, they would have taken John also. And they would have taken the rest of the disciples. Who knows what would have happened? Remember, I said prayer is earthly permission for heavenly intervention, and this is man's jurisdiction. There is a property of God called sovereignty. He can choose to intervene because he is God and cannot be questioned. However, God needs men to participate with him, to call him into action. Psalm 74 says, O Lord, why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thine right hand? Pluck it out of your bosom. That was the prayers of intercession. Now, verse 5, I will read through. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But the Bible says here, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Immediately the church called a prayer meeting and began to cry and remind God of his promises. That, Lord God, you said we will not die but live to declare the works of the Lord. They began to cry and call upon the name of the Lord, reminding God that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. reminding God of his promises that Jerusalem shall be a city that is built without walls, but I myself shall be a wall of fire and the glory in the midst of her. They began to remind God of his promises on behalf of Brother Peter and began to engage in ceaseless prayer. I'm sure they added fasting to it. They locked themselves in a place and engaged in ceaseless prayer for Brother Peter. So what killed James was the lack of prayers of the church. The oxen were not praying. They were laid back. You know, there is a way that we can think things come around. You know, maybe we sense some kind of strange attacks and we just take it for granted in the name of faith. Praying or prayers is not a demonstration of lack of faith. Taking up prayers over and over again, I will need to say that over and over again. Taking prayers over a matter is not a lack of faith, but it's more of taking responsibility. Now, this was what happened, and it suddenly dawned on the church. They called a prayer meeting, what they ought to have been doing before. What I'm trying to describe to you here is a breaking in, that our oxes, Kaba, may be strong to labor in the place of prayer, first for Jerusalem, that there be no breaking in. He said, I have set watchmen over thy walls, O Jerusalem, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep no silent and give him no rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So we need to take up responsibility in the place of prayer, especially now, and I will shortly explain why. Verse 6, and then Herod would have brought him forth. The same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Brother Peter was not praying. He was not fearful. In fact, he was already ready to die. He had already just, you know, given up. You know, thank God. I guess my time is up, you know. But you will notice something here that, you know, Peter would have gone and the church would have lost a great gift. A gift to the body because they were not praying, because they were not taking responsibility, and the oxen were not laboring. Brother Peter would have gone. We see how beyond this point, later on, his ministry extended and he began to do more mighty things for God. So God had much more for him. But God was somewhat incapacitated because the oxen were not praying. Brethren, the Lord will help us. The Lord will grant us grace. We need the strength and ability and the grace of God, especially in these times. These are the times where, you see, I've been seeing postings of some funny things that they say after the lockdown, people's belly will grow bigger. But it ought not to be. Your belly should not grow bigger in these times. You should engage in the place of prayer. It is an opportunity to press more into God. It is an opportunity to take up prayers, especially with the wickedness that is going on. For Jerusalem, we must pray. Verse 6, I will continue. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and keepers before the door kept the prison. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. Hallelujah. And light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Verse 8, and the angel said unto him, guide thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he said, and he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Please follow this reading. Verse 9, and he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true that was done by the angel, but he thought he was seeing a vision. Verse 10, and when they were past the first and the second wall, they came unto the iron gates that leadeth unto the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. It broke on his own accord and went out, and he passed on one street and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jews. brethren, there is nothing that prayers cannot answer. Amen. This was a place. He was bound between quaternions of soldiers. A lot of soldiers with their mighty weaponry surrounded Brother Peter. And he was locked up with about three gates. And the very last one was gates of iron. It was impossible. How was it going to be possible for God to apprehend Brother Peter? You see, the church just began to pray because our God is a miracle working God. There is nothing that he cannot do. He is a miracle working God. And the church prayed and prayed, and the Lord sent his angel and intervened on behalf of Brother Peter. Now, let's just quickly read and to verse 13 and 14, and I will go to one more or two more verses of scripture, and then we'll pray. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, okay, verse 12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose son name was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They should have implemented this initiative before. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Little Girl Rhoda. Verse 14, and when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Now, see verse 15. It says, and they said unto her, thou art mad. He said, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, no, 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 no. It must be Peter's angel. See, the church was praying. They did not know how God was going to do it. Even though God saw that they were kind of praying from the place of unbelief, but they just shall pray. Brethren, I exhort you in the name of the Lord and enjoin you. Just pray. Just give yourself to prayers. Especially corporately now, we must give ourselves to prayers. The church was praying. They did not know how God was going to do it. The devil kept reminding them of how Brother James was killed. And I'm sure he was telling them, you know, the way James was killed, Peter is going to be killed also. But the Bible says ceaseless prayer was made. Ceaseless prayer was made. And the Lord intervened on behalf of Brother Peter. Now, if the church had not prayed, if the church or the oxen that were sleeping did not take up responsibility and begin to pray, Brother Peter would have died. That is a typical example of what is called a breaking in. And the Bible, through the mouth of David, God speaking, said that our oxen may be strong, may have ability, staying power to labor in the place of prayer, both individually, both corporately. We need to pray. We need to pray. The church learned a lesson after this. And we see right after in Acts 13, they called for a meeting of fasting and prayer straight away in Antioch. And after that, they cultivated a constant attitude of prayer. Brethren, we must not let the worst happen. We are seeing the wickedness that is going on in the world. And we may just begin to say, no evil shall come nigh my dwelling. There is no need. And we are just sleeping at home and resting and not taking responsibility in the place of prayer. I want to tell you that if such a thing happens, if we are lackadaisical in the place of prayer, there can be a breaking in. But in the name of Jesus, the Lord will not permit such. And that is why the word of the Lord is coming to us today. We will take responsibility in the place of prayer. God will clothe us with sackcloth. The Lord will grant us grace to be able to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. He says that there be no breaking in. Another portion says that there be no complaining on the streets. Now, the church is also responsible for its immediate territory. God has given us the land of Winnipeg. God has given us the land of Canada. And God has also committed to our hands the nations of the world. And it is the responsibility of the oxes also to take responsibility in the place of prayer and to ask for God to intervene, to ask for God to begin to judge, to lift up a sore and bitter lamentation against the spirit of death that have been sent from the pit of hell to eat up much flesh. We need to pray, my brethren. We need to cry to God for help. We need to cry to God for his divine intervention. And that is what God has for us today. That's what God wants us to do. Now, in terms of his implementation, I will state one thing, because it's not my intention to break scriptures down today. It is my intention to incite you to action so we can pray and then take initiative even much more in the place of prayer, especially now. By the word of the Lord, in the name of Jesus, coronavirus, that deadly disease, shall not come nigh any of our brethren. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bring a covering over each and every body in Winnipeg House Fellowship. Over one and all, there shall be a shield and a covering in the name of Jesus. The oxens will take responsibility in the place of prayer. We extend Amen. The arm of God to Toronto. We extend the Amen. Hand of God to Quebec. We extend Amen. The arm of God to the church in Nigeria, the church in Sierra Leone, the church in Togo, the church everywhere. Upon all that call on the name of the Lord, there shall be a divine protection in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There shall be no breaking in. Our oxens may be strong enough to labor. God will clothe us with the spirit of grace. God will clothe us with the spirit of intercession. The Deborahs will arise in intercession. God will grant us the strength of 10 men to labor in the place of prayer. The spirit of groaning will fall upon the corporate church. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we invoke the power in the blood upon the doorposts and lintels of all our brethren. There shall be a covering. There shall be a divine covering. In the name of Jesus, the Lord will mark a distinction as he did when he divided the Red Sea, that there was light in Goshen and there was darkness in Egypt. There shall be a clear-cut distinction in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We bring judgment upon contradictory spirits. If there has been any way that this foul spirit has already crept into the church, whether in Nigeria, whether in Canada, whether in wherever that spirit might have crept in the name of Jesus, by the word of the Lord, it is written, the ungodly shall not stand, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They shall be cut off. They shall be utterly cut off. They shall be utterly cut off. We perform an environmental sanitation. We give God liberty to begin to judge, to begin to sweep through in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Let's turn to the book of Nehemiah. I have one prayer burden, and I know other brethren have prayer burdens, just two, and then I will hand it over to Uncle. Because I know the Lord is speaking to us. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is strong to pray. Now, I want you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. I spoke about how they are burden bearers. Now, there is an attack on the burden bearers. This is a directive word. Jesus. Okay. There is an attack on the burden bearers. Nehemiah chapter 4. This attack is via the spirit of weariness. Just laid back to pray. You don't just know why you are weary. You cannot pray. It is an operation of his spirit. And we are going to use the word of the Lord to judge that spirit right now. You see, look at what happened here in the building of the house of the Lord. The enemy knows. The devil knows. He has wiles and he knows where to hit for an attack, but he can't, because we have the Holy Spirit, who is the wisdom of God. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 10, this was when the building of the house of the Lord was going on, and Sambalat and Tobiah, those who were incensed against the building of the house of the Lord, the enemy took a hold of them to want to hinder them. And look at verse 7. It said, but it came to pass that when Sambalat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wrath, and conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch. That is my emphasis now. I'm going to talk about prayer watches very, very, very briefly. And set a watch against them day and night because of them. Verse 10. We can read together wherever we are. And Judah said, the strength, see the word strength used there, of the bearers of the burden is decayed. And there is much what?
There is much rubbish.
Contradictions. Strange things are happening because the burden bearers are not taking responsibility. It says, so that we are not able to build the walls. Jesus. Oh my God. Brethren, I want us to pray that the strength of the burden bearers will not be decayed. The strength of the burden bearers will not be decayed. The word there is to stumble. Stumble. The word decay is to stumble. It may come via challenges of life. It may come via, you know, different trials. But we must stand on our watch to hear and to hear what the Lord has to say to us. We must know the word of the Lord at every hour. So I want us to pray now that the Lord will strengthen us as burden bearers. God needs men to begin to take responsibility for Jerusalem and take responsibility for the church of God. Let us pray. God will strengthen the burden bearers. Brethren, let us begin to pray. The Lord will grant us grace. It comes via distractions. Little distractions, entanglement of the soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm going to say just one more thing, 2 minutes, and then I think Brother Ruki has a prayer burden, and then thereafter I hand it over to Uncle, and I stop. I wanted us to pray. Now, there is a need. We see how in Nehemiah chapter 4 that the Bible says that they set watches. If you go back there in verse 9, it says, nevertheless, Nehemiah 4 verse 9, it says, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them. Now, this is a very important aspect of prayer. I said, as much as prayer is a lifestyle, it is also an act. An act that requires discipline, commitment, devotion, and godly piety. Now, the men of old understood the importance of prayer watches. If you go to the book of Psalms, in Psalm 119, verse 164, I believe, David said, 7 times a day will I praise thy name. He was referring to the prayer hour setting watch technique, if I put it that way, permit my English. Now, that's in the Jewish time, there was what were called prayer watches. The day began from 6 a.m. And when David said, 7 times a day, I will seek you, he was referring to the prayer hour. That is 6, 9 a.m., 12, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., 9 p.m., and 12 a.m., making 7 times. The Jews implemented this. Now, you will see how in the book of Acts, they went in to get the man that was crippled at the hour of prayer. They were going in at the hour of prayer. You also notice Cornelius had an encounter at the night hour. That was 3 o'clock, one of the prayer watches. The men of old understood the importance of prayer watches. This connotes the importance of what are called altars. An altar demands service. Once you engage in an act consistently, it becomes an altar. When you engage consistently in a set time of prayer, it becomes an altar. And the Lord will always meet and visit his people there. Daniel understood this principle. And you see another portion where before they went in before the woman confronted them with the spirit of divination in Acts 16, they said they went in at the hour of prayer. I have so many, many scriptures to prove this, but maybe at the proper time, you know, I just want to pass the message across that one of the ways that has been adopted and has been clearly shown to us from scriptures to maintain a consistent and potent prayer life so that the fire on the burnt offering does not go out. A way to put wood on the fire so that it consistently and the altar of fire and prayer consistently burns is by setting times of prayer. Now, on that note, I have an indication in my heart that there is actually a need for us, especially now in these times, to set times of prayer as the Lord grants us grace. I don't know how we will do it. There is no distance in the spirit. We will do it via Zoom or however, but we need to call ourselves to pray. At least two people, however we want to do it, but this is a way of implementing this, to set a steady and consistent chain of prayer, because that was what happened in the book of Acts. It says ceaseless prayer was now made unto God for Peter. And that was one of the ways to engage in ceaseless prayer, especially corporately, the prayer hour method, regimentation and discipline in the place of prayer, not being lackadaisical or lazy about it, but actually setting times individually and corporately to come together and call on the name of the Lord for 30 minutes, for 20 minutes, for an hour, as we are unable to, but keep consistent at it, especially now that we are in a lockdown and there is no going out. It is something that can be easily implemented. So I believe the Lord will grant us strength and grace. We will continue to take up these burdens. But I believe I will take the back seat now. Brother Ruki has a prayer, and thereafter hand it over to Uncle. He has, I believe, has one or two things to say to the body in general. The Lord bless your hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Brethren, this